Welcome to the One Climbs Podcast, a show about exploring life through the lens of theology, scripture, symbolism, and ideas that uplift the human mind. In the Book of Mormon, in 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1, Nephi talks about how he was creating a record. And then his little brother Jacob, in Jacob chapter 1, verse 1, he also talks about a record as well, specifically these smaller versions of the metal plates that they wrote their or engraved their records upon. And these plates were created for a specific purpose. So the only thing that Jacob said they wrote on these plates were those things that they considered to be most precious. Their kind of secular history of their wars and contentions and what happened with their people was kept on something that was called the large plates, essentially. And so these small plates were these precious spiritual records. And it was very important for them to find a way to preserve the records from generation to generation, and that they would touch upon as much it were possible these sacred things for Christ's sake and for the sake of our people, is what he said. So the three things that they put upon these plates were sacred preaching, great revelation, and then prophesying. And I've always thought for a while about this idea of recording sacred things. So about 20 years ago, I had an idea to do something very similar to this. So I was in an institute class, and the institute instructor, he read a quote that really stuck in my mind. And at the time, it made a really big impact on me. And this is the quote. It's from Richard G. Scott, and it's actually from a talk called Acquiring Spiritual Knowledge. It's in the 1993 Ensign, page 86, if you want to go look it up. But this is what he said. It's really cool. It says, powerful spiritual direction in your life can be overcome or forced into the background unless you provide a way to retain it. Brigham Young declared, if you love the truth, you can remember it. Knowledge carefully recorded is knowledge available in time of need. And this is the best part here. Spiritually sensitive information should be kept in a sacred place that communicates to the Lord how you treasure it. That practice enhances the likelihood of your receiving further light. So the thing about this quote that struck me the most is the idea of this knowledge getting forced into the background and forgotten, which happens all the time. You're constantly forgetting things, and sometimes you don't even realize you've forgotten something, which to me is kind of a pretty terrifying thought, especially when it comes to really important things that you want to remember. I can't tell you how many things have just slipped my mind that I've forgotten. But this one right here, spiritually sensitive information, keeping it in a sensitive or a sacred place that communicates to the Lord how you treasure it. So having some type of place to keep the information, that practice enhances the likelihood of your receiving further light from the Lord because you're showing him that you appreciate what he's giving you and that if he does give you something, you're going to keep it. Now, I know that the Lord knows our hearts. And he's not likely going to withhold information from people because they're not recording and collecting things. But I also think on the flip side of that, that if you are putting yourself in a position where you're open to receiving something from God and you're making specific efforts and accommodations to try to collect and record so that you can use it later, I don't know if the Lord's necessarily going to be giving you more than other people, like he's favoring you over other people in some way. I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't think so. I think that what happens is because you're in a position to where you're willing to receive more, you're going to recognize more of the information he's sending. So the likelihood of you receiving further light is you're going to be more likely to hear his voice because you're open to it and you've created a way to save and retain it. And that kind of fits in line with what my experience has been, because I always see people taking notes. People are at church, and it's become less and less. I used to see more and more people taking notes at church. They would have these yellow notepads, and I would have little slips of paper that I would write notes on. And those things would always end up stuffed in my scripture case or shoved in my scriptures. They would basically just be general notes. Someone is speaking, and so I'm writing down what they're saying. But I'm just trying to write everything down. And, oh, I like that quote, and I'm writing that down. But, you know, they just get tossed everywhere, and nothing happens with them. I can't collect them, and because they're all in different sizes of paper and different kinds of ink, it's just this jumbled mass. What do you do with all of that? So I never liked taking notes. I would do it occasionally when I felt like there would be a worthwhile reason to, but anyway, never a big note taker. But then when I heard this quote, I said, well, what if I got a notebook, and I had this notebook that my aunt had sent me on my mission, and I already had a journal that I did not fill up, unfortunately. And I decided to take this empty book, and I have it. It's right there on my shelf. I still have it, 20 years old. And I brought it with me the next time I went to institute. And I opened up the book and I said, I'm going to try something different. I am only going to write in this book anything that the Spirit seems to confirm as true, or anything the Spirit wants me to remember or that applies to me personally, anything that I feel like God is communicating to me that he wants me to know and receive and implement in my life. I didn't really know what I was doing other than I created a sacred space for information. So I sat there in class and I listened. And I've talked before about my institute teacher and really what a great difference he's made in my life and what a great thing it was at that time to have somebody like him who had a lot of knowledge and who really brought things down to earth. His style of teaching really spoke to me and helped me out personally. And I know it helped out a lot of other people. But I'm listening in the class and I'm waiting and I'm really trying to pay attention, not just to what he's saying, but to see if there's something behind his words, something that's specifically meant for me, or something that there's a witness of truth to. And so little by little, I started to have some experiences where he would speak something and that particular sentence or the idea began to resonate with me, and I perceived that this was something true that I needed to save. So that went into the book. And I kept doing that every time I went to this institute class. And after a while, things started to get more and more clear. It was very clear when a new idea would come. And sometimes I was able to record the exact quote of what was said. And sometimes something would be said, but in my mind, the way it kind of fit into my mind, the words were different. There was a different way I felt like it should be interpreted that made more sense to me. So I'd use different words. And then sometimes I would paraphrase longer ideas that there was no possible way I could get quotes from. So after a while, I began to realize that as I looked back on some of the notes, I couldn't remember what was an actual quote or what was a paraphrase or anything that maybe the Spirit taught me that was not said in class. And so I saw this as kind of a problem. So what I did is I came up with a very simple system. Every independent idea, quote, whatever it was, I just put a dash. That indicated this is a separate concept, just like a hyphen, just like you would if you were making a list. I guess those would be dashes or hyphens. I don't know. Anyway, a little horizontal line to the left of every unique idea or concept or whatever I was writing. So I had the little dash, and if it was a quote, if I knew that the words were being recorded precisely as spoken, I would put quotation marks around it. Very simple, right? So if it was just paraphrase, I was just writing paraphrase text, I would just write it out. It would just be a normal sentence, no quotes, no other marks, nothing. Anything that was just written like that was paraphrase. And the vast majority of what I was writing in there was simply paraphrased content for the most part, a great deal of it. And then you had the quotes, but then there were also things that I was writing down where they were complete formulated ideas. And sometimes they would come in pieces, one right after another, and then they would finish. And these were completely unique ideas that weren't coming from my thought process. These were messages or information or thoughts or ideas that were coming from the Lord. And so I put those in parentheses because the parentheses make kind of a circle, and I identified the symbolism of a circle with heaven and revelation and things like that. And so the parentheses was kind of more circular. And then if it was just an idea I had that I thought, you know, I was thinking through a problem or thinking through a concept and I came up with my own idea, I would put that in the kind of the greater than less than brackets. I'm not quite sure what they're called. We use them in HTML all the time, building websites and whatnot. No, they kind of felt like they fit better with the mortal mind. And so I put those around there. So those are the four different ways that I identify pieces of information that make it into my personal small place. I would be driving down the road and I carried this notebook around me everywhere I went. So as I'm driving around, it's sitting there in my backpack. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, information would start coming. And I would have to pull over to the side of the road and open up my book and start writing down the information I was receiving. It would be an answer to a prayer, an answer to something difficult I was going through that I wasn't even thinking about. Sometimes I would be thinking about it. Sometimes I wouldn't be, but the answer would come and I would write it and I would collect it. And thus far, I filled, I don't know, like 9 or 10 of these books. I got a whole stack of them up on my shelf right now. I'm looking at them. But what they end up representing, because the only thing I'm writing in there, I am writing revelation and communication from the Lord. And yes, I am writing my own thoughts. I do have some of my own thoughts in there. But a lot of those thoughts come basically from having access to information, thinking about it, and then something that my own mind has formulated or learned from a particular thing, those things that have come together. So yes, there are some things in there that are from my own thoughts. They're not revelations. They're not anything from God, but those make up a small percentage of what's actually in there. The vast majority of what fills these books represents a physical witness, a physical archive, a physical manifestation, whatever you want to call it, of God working in my life. And there's a stack of it like a foot high. This mass that I could hold in my hands and feel the weight of and flip through all the pages and read very specific things. All of these things that God has given me stand there in the physical world to be interacted with and looked at and hefted. And there's something really powerful about that. Just looking at those stacks right there, how just the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of encounters and instances and times that I specifically was able to identify the voice of the Lord distinctly and know the source of the information that was coming to me. Having that is extremely valuable because it's allowed me to really hone my own personal ability to hear the voice of the Lord when it comes to certain things. And it's been a tremendous gift in my life. So this is from a book that Richard G. Scott wrote called Finding Peace, Happiness, and Joy, pages 42, 45, 46. This is what he wrote. And he's given many conference talks, quite a few, about this topic and even shared some of these stories. And I believe, if I recall correctly, they're the same stories but shared in different talks. And they're slightly different, but it's the same concept, the same idea. So let me read this portion here. He says, sometimes the impressions are just feelings. And that's true. Sometimes you can have this feeling about something, either a positive or negative feeling. And you know, that could come from the Lord. That could be a prompting from the Spirit. It could just be your gut. It could be something happening on a subconscious level. I have absolutely wrestled with a lot of these ideas and absolutely know that there are a lot of things that come straight up just from your own mind, just the power of your subconscious mind. You've got a lot going on in there. And many psychologists have studied this and analyzed it. And you do have a subconscious mind that collects and stores and is aware of far more things than your conscious mind appears to be. And sometimes those subconscious things come out into our conscious thinking. And so there have been many times where I've challenged spiritual experiences and spiritual revelation and things as being something from my subconscious mind, but I have been able to discern the difference between them because it was made quite obvious when I was challenging them that they were not from my mind. I mean, anyway, that's a little complicated to explain, but basically what I'm saying is you can tell the difference between something that comes from the Lord and something that comes from your own thoughts. And it just comes down to experience and just really being conscious of what your own mind's capable of and what types of things are not coming from your own mind. So this is what he says. He says, sometimes the impressions are just general feelings. Sometimes the direction comes so clearly and so unmistakably that it can be written down word for word like spiritual dictation. And I've had those experiences myself before I even read this. So he goes on to describe an experience he had in a Sunday church meeting, and then all these impressions become flooding into his mind. So he says, I continue to write each feeling that flooded into my mind and heart as accurately and faithfully as possible. So he's just recording these feelings that he's having. After each powerful impression was recorded, I pondered the feeling I had received to determine if I had accurately expressed them in writing. So as he's pondering, now ponder is an interesting word. I want to take a minute real quick and just explain the difference between meditation and pondering. The word meditate means to revolve in the mind. Now, some people think it means sitting down with your legs crossed and your hands on your knees making a weird gesture and just thinking. So that may be how some people meditate, but the definition of the word meditate is to revolve in the mind. It's such a cool definition to take something, an idea or anything, and just revolve it in your mind. Look at all of the sides and really just observe and scope out everything and see if you can understand just the dimensions, the scope, the breadth, everything related to that thing. Pondering means to think upon the actual, I don't have the exact definition in front of me, but it goes to the effect of pondering is when you are thinking of the actual actions you're going to take and pondering and thinking about the implications of those actions. So you're deciding to do something, thinking about what the results of those actions will be. So this is beyond just examining something. Now you're starting to think about acting and putting things out there into reality and creating things. So pondering is a little more active than meditating. So pondering the feelings, he's thinking actively towards these things. And I probably just butchered that definition. Go look it up some more. Look at some different definitions from different sources. But that's the general gist. Pondering is when the things you've collected from meditation, you're trying to figure out how to act on them and put them into reality, essentially. So he pondered the feeling that he had received to see if he'd accurately express them. And as a result, I made a few minor changes to what had been written. He found some better words as his understanding deepened. Then he studied their meaning and application in my own personal life. So there you go, the pondering, studying the meaning, and then the application in your life. Subsequently, I prayed, reviewing with the Lord what I thought I had been taught by the Spirit. So he's going even further. He's trying to milk as much as he can out of what he's receiving. And then he decided later he was going to take everything that he thought he had to the Lord and reviewed it with God. And then he said, with a feeling of peace and serenity, it confirmed what he had thought. He thanked God for the guidance. Then he was impressed to ask if there was yet more that he could be given to understand. Now, this is key because every time you get knowledge, no matter where it is or how you're getting it, every time you get knowledge, new ideas, it can change the way that you interact with other thoughts and ideas. It's kind of amazing. It's almost like learning a new color and then being able to include that in your painting or in your artwork. It changes how you would do things from that point on. And it also changes the way how you would have done things in the past. So this is why continually learning and gaining knowledge is so important. And then continually reassessing what you thought you knew as you gain knowledge. Not just to think, well, I understood this 20 years ago, and so that's all I'll ever learn about it. I figured that out back then. It's done. As you learn, it's so cool because you can continue to go back and understand more and more again. So he prays, he asks if there's anything else, if there's more that he could be given to understand. So he received further impressions, and the process of writing down the impressions and pondering and praying to know if I had done it properly was repeated. So he did the whole thing again. Again, he was prompted to ask, is there more I should know? There was. When that last most sacred experience was concluded, I had received some of the most precious, specific, personal direction one could ever hope to obtain in this life. I am convinced that had I not responded to the first impressions, valued, and recorded them, I would not have received the last most precious guidance. What I have described is not an isolated experience. Very, very cool. So he pushed on and on and on to try to continually ask and just collect as much, just squeeze out as much information as he could, only discovering that the Lord was continually willing to give him more and more and more until he arrived at this place where he felt like the final answer he was given was kind of the pinnacle of where that information was leading him. He doesn't say specifically what it is, but there's a pattern here that I think each of us can follow. In another talk called To Acquire Knowledge and the Strength to Use It Wisely, this is Liahona, August 2002, page 12. He talks about more about these types of things. He says, write down in a secure place the important things you learn from the Spirit. Very simple, right? You will find that as you write down precious impressions, often more will come. Also, the knowledge you gain will be available throughout your life because you're going to be able to refer back to it. Remember I just mentioned going back and reviewing things again? Well, you can't do that unless you have them written down or recorded somewhere. Could be typed, just recorded. I'm going to say recorded instead of written. Also, the knowledge you gain. Oh, I already read that. Always, day or night, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, seek to recognize and respond to the direction of the Spirit. Express gratitude for the help you received and obey it. This practice will reinforce your capacity to learn by the Spirit. It will permit the Lord to guide your life and to enrich the use of every other capacity latent in your being. Kind of an interesting statement there. If I had the power to communicate the importance of the principle just shared, this is Elder Scott continuing, I could end this message now and you would have received the major benefit from these words. It requires effort and practice to consistently learn by what you see and feel. I suggest that you practice this principle now. I ask a few basic questions that only you can answer for yourself. Will you think of your responses? Perhaps you can jot them down. Then consciously ask the Lord to help you recognize any guidance he wants to give you. Since the Lord will not force you to learn, you must exercise your agency to authorize the Spirit to teach you. Continue to seek this guidance while I suggest some ways to realize your aspirations. And finally, I will also suggest what can motivate you powerfully to higher achievement. What you write down from the impressions you feel will be the most valuable help you can receive. So really good stuff. There's many other things that have been written by other general authorities and people from all walks of life. I mean, I think the idea of journaling and writing down impressions and things is applicable to pretty much everyone everywhere. There's so many different applications for this, and so many people, both from a perspective of healing the mind. There's a lot of people that struggle with very traumatic things or very troubling things or experiences or things that can't reconcile. And journaling is often recommended to people to help organize their thoughts and get things out to where they can deal with them. But here we're talking about them specifically as basically a mechanism whereby you can store things precious to you that the Lord is giving you. Spencer W. Kimball said, "Get a notebook, my young friends, a journal that will last throughout all time, and maybe the angels may quote from it for eternity. Begin today and write it, your goings and comings, your deepest thoughts, your achievements, your failures, your associations, and your triumphs, your impressions, and your testimonies." That's New Era, 1975, October. So I personally use a lot of different methods. Ultimately, the thing that works for you is the best thing. That's bottom line. I actually gave a presentation about journaling at Roots Tech several years ago. You can find it online. It's YouTube. I talked about journaling, and I'm the co-founder of a company that does an online journaling service. I'm not going to mention it, but I want you to think about how you can record and collect the things that are precious to you. Personally, when it comes to spiritual things, I use analog techniques. I use physical books, physical notebooks, and I write in them. The one that I've come to like the most is this notebook with sepia colored pages, so I can write in white and black ink because I'm a designer and I like to draw, and sometimes some of the things that I feel are better expressed in patterns and designs and different things. I think in images as well as words. So a physical notebook gives me the ability to do that. And then I have a whole collection of notes that are digital and things that I collect digitally. So if I don't have one of my notebooks around, I have my phone. I could jot something down and then transfer it to the books. But there's always a concern, you know, a fire could spark in my house and burn down. I could lose all my notes. That actually happened to Marie Osmond, and she lost 30 years of journals in a house fire, which is it's so painful to think about losing something of that value, just knowledge about your life and your memories. So one of the things I've taken to doing with some of these journals is I'll take pictures of each individual page, and then I'll upload them into a digital journal, and then I'll keep them there so that I'll at least always have copies of those physical ones. And so there's different things like that you can do. The main thing is you simply do it. Even if all these journals right now were completely destroyed, the experiences that I had with God in writing those things and the strength that it's given to my relationship with God is a permanent fixture in my life, even if those physical copies of the books were lost somehow. What I've become because of those is permanent. So those are kind of some of the ideas of how I do what I do and the impact that it's made in my life. There's another quote. Let me see if I can, here we go. This is from The Crucible of Doubt by Terrell and Fiona Givens. This is one of my absolute favorite quotes. I actually used it in my Roots Tech talk because I thought it was so amazing. So this is what they wrote. It said, to remember is to rescue the sacred from the vacuum of oblivion. Isn't that just so cool? To remember is to rescue the sacred from the vacuum of oblivion. It's absolutely true, because if you don't find a way to record something, it's gone. We remember an extremely small percentage of what happens to us. And to be able to access that knowledge again, or pass it on to your posterity, or use it to help somebody else, is just going to be made extremely more difficult if you're not saving the information. It's just gone. And perhaps it'll help you in your own journey. Maybe it influences you on a level, even though you might not specifically remember it. You remember the idea of it. But oftentimes, it's just simply gone. And there's so many times where I'll go back through these journals and I'll read a whole section. And within those pages, everything about that experience comes back to me. Everything about those ideas. And they reflect upon my mind differently today, because I've learned so much more since then. And so new ideas prompted by those old ones get recorded in a new journal, and there's an evolution of thought, a deepening of understanding. And that impacts my life in extremely important ways. So if there's any interest to you in doing something like this, I would say that this is probably one of the most significant things that I've ever done to clarify the voice of the Spirit in my own life. And it's so incredibly simple. There's a quote from Julie B. Beck. She was the Relief Society General President. And she said this. She said, "The ability to qualify for, receive, and act on personal revelation is the single most important skill that can be acquired in this life. Qualifying for the Lord's Spirit begins with a desire for that Spirit. It implies a certain degree of worthiness. Keeping the commandments, repenting, renewing covenants that made at baptism lead to the blessing of always having the Lord's Spirit with us." So she said it was a skill, that this is an acquired, single most important skill that can be acquired. So the Webster's 1828 dictionary defines skill. Yes, I'm going to go there. Too bad. This is my podcast, so I will be the dictionary guy. I've talked about that before. Understanding the definition of words is extremely important. So yes, I go there full force. We're going to the dictionary. We're going to define stuff. Absolutely. So it says, skill means to strain, to stretch, to reach, and with to perfect, that is, to make sound or reach the utmost limit. Skill, strain, stretch, reach. I don't know that I would have defined it that way. I would say, oh, something you're good at because you worked at it. But I guess that work part is straining, stretching, reaching. And so doing something very simple, like creating a book that you're going to listen for the voice of the Spirit and record those things. That is a method of straining and stretching, I think, and reaching. And it's basically showing to the Lord that you're open and ready and willing to receive. And I think just having that attitude flips a little switch in your mind to where you're in listening mode and you could hear more than if you just kind of get caught up in the day-to-day things that physical book. Like I got one sitting right here on my desk. Simply it existing is a constant reminder that there's knowledge and information continually flowing. You could tap into it if you're just aware and listening. And the fact that you have a pen or something in you, because that's the other reason I like the book, is because it's separate than everything else. It's not an app on the phone that can get lost or that I got to pay for continually or whatever. It's just here. I can open it up. I can touch and feel the pages. It has all these sensory, there's just the smell of the paper, the sound of the pages turning, having something come into your mind and then it comes out of your hand, your sense of touch, and then you see the words on the paper. You hear the pen moving across the page. All of these different things, it's a multi-sensory experience. It just ignites all of the senses. And it also, I think, records the information in different parts of your brain, because you're not only writing it and you're using your muscle memory to create those letters and those words, but then you're seeing it with your eyes. So something went from just being a thought in your mind, something just firing across the synapses of your brain, now comes into the world in a way that other people can see and benefit from it, and that you could see and benefit from it in the future. You've snatched it from that vacuum of oblivion and you've preserved it. You've saved it from that. To me, that is such a cool idea. And it's true in the sense that this is what's actually occurring. So it's a different way to think about something very familiar, a book and a pen, but something that can actually cause us to perceive the voice of the Lord clearer, simply because this thing has been introduced into the patterns of our lives as something new that disrupts the pattern and causes us to now think differently, to think in a way that we could become the type of person that would be able to hear and recognize and listen, because we've changed the pattern. And the way you can change habits and change patterns is to introduce something new into the equation. Because by doing that, you fundamentally disrupt it and you change it. So yeah, definitely very interesting. So I do this at general conference. I do it at church when I'm listening to talks. Now, a lot of people go to church, and I hear this from time to time. People go, well, church is just boring. None of the talks are very good. They don't challenge me, you know, and all this jazz. But if you're carrying that book around with you and you pull out your pen and you open up and you just listen and you're trying to hear the voice of the Spirit behind what they're saying and allow God to teach you, maybe not with their specific words or the examples they're using, but oftentimes the person's voice drifts into the background and the Spirit begins to teach. And now I'm receiving things from the Spirit just because one word they said or something, it just kind of takes me off and away from what they're saying. And, you know, oftentimes they'll give a really good talk and they'll say very inspired things, and that happens too. But it's never that the meeting itself is boring to me, because I can receive spiritual direction from whatever I'm doing, whoever is speaking, because I'm not necessarily waiting for them to say the right things. I'm listening for the voice of the Lord, which is speaking regardless of whatever's around me. And they may be up there giving just a horrible talk, like it was just horribly prepared. Nothing makes any sense. It's extremely boring. But whatever their intent is behind that, even if their intent is horrific, the Lord isn't going to stand by and let people suffer in the darkness. He's constantly a source of light. And as long as you look to that light, I think your path is going to be illuminated before you, for sure. So hopefully you find that information helpful. Hopefully, if you've been struggling to discern the voice of the Spirit from your own thoughts, this can be a vehicle that will help you to create those distinctions by specifically marking what you're writing or recording in a way that you know, okay, this is one of my own thoughts. This is something I had a good feeling about. And just being very honest about what you're writing and not trying to make things revelations from the Lord, but genuinely doing this in a manner that you could begin to recognize what is coming from the Spirit and what may be your own thoughts or et cetera. So I hope this helps you. Give this a shot in your own life. Give it a try. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in your own life. I've recommended this to people for 20 years. And I think the people who have done it faithfully, it made a really big impact. So hopefully this will help someone else out there. Hey, until the next episode, have fun with that. And we'll talk to you again soon.